This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 11th of January, 2022. And we have a very interesting set of market developments yesterday with, in the U.S., this further crumbling of risk sentiment. We have those rate expectations marching higher for the Fed, yields marching higher again, and the U.S. equity indices marching lower. And as we pointed out yesterday, some really key support levels were coming into view. We can see on the NASDAQ 100 chart on slide two, the ones we pointed out were the sort of obvious pivot lows prior, those around 15,500. And then we had that 61.8% retracement, a bit lower, below 15,300. All of this giving way sort of intraday. And then we're bouncing all the way back to unchanged and even slightly positive on the day for the NASDAQ 100, slightly less positive for the S&P 500, but really just a key line in the sand after a day like yesterday when we punctured some support levels and the market tries to put together some support. And as I'll point out, Bitcoin could have been in play and been a key factor as well. One commentator arguing that this could be some front running of what has been often described as a turnaround Tuesday. There have been a number of occasions where a bad slide has turned on a dime on a Tuesday. We'll see. The point being, we have a key support level in place after yesterday. Anything else you want to pull out of sort of the internals or what you saw yesterday, Peter?
Well, I think the key thing to mention is that there was not a follow through in U.S. 10-year yields. We briefly touched and went a little bit beyond 1.8%. I'll tell you, we'll probably talk more about that. And then we came down. And I think, of course, those two things were coincidating factors. So they moved in the opposite direction. But I think we did highlight in the equity update yesterday that we were at a key inflection point. So the distance from the current NASDAQ 100 futures price to the 200-day moving average was the weakest since April 2020. So, and we were at a level relative to recent trend that in four other occasions led to a rebound. So we said it's an inflection point. Either we get a rebound or we really will probably sell off even more, which would be very, very much technically driven because, I mean, we are getting to a point where if we look at the interest rate move relative to what's taking place, we're probably getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves. And I think it's comes down to that a lot of people in the ARK Innovation ETF and in general in this space, they came in very much close to the top and have come in at levels that are very high, and they're suddenly sitting on these losses. And I as you mentioned, I mean, I think the whole crypto market is also playing its part on the riskiness. For me, the key thing to watch today is for NASDAQ futures to NASDAQ 100 futures to make another new close that is above yesterday's close. If that's the case, and if we can even close above the 100-day moving average, which you have there with the blue line on slide two, then I really think that we're in for a couple of days of rebound because we are moving into the earnings season. Now, just quickly, so obviously the bubble stocks on the baskets were the best performing today, with gaming have been very hard hit over the past year. And then cybersecurity, and I'll come back to the cybersecurity, why that theme is so interesting, given something that happened in Europe this morning. But we'll go through that when we get to the slide on what stocks to watch today.
All right. And then just again, to underline that crypto, I think, was a key thing in play here yesterday, as we also saw a very, very critical support level coming into view on Bitcoin. You can see that on slide three, the 40,000 level. I mean, this is something that's been in play since the beginning of January, or the beginning of 2021. I drew the dotted blue line there. You see how many times this 40,000 level has been important. And there was a very, very clear correlation intraday between Bitcoin price and the NASDAQ 100, for example, and risk sentiment. Generally, you see that interesting sort of sloping head and shoulders type formation that we did break below. That is bearish, but I would argue this 40,000 level is an even bigger one. So again, we've established these lines in the sand, and the thing is that that's sort of the bull bear line from now. If we've crumbled through that, I think it looks pretty ugly, because you have to imagine some new sort of nervous money has been established at these levels, and the capitulation will be added to on these new positions if there is a renewed sell-off. And then key on the, as you pointed out, Peter, on the and as a segue into Altea space, we did see the yields backing off after new local highs there. I've got on slide four the 10-year. I think the interesting thing to point out, though, as well, as those new highs we've seen recently in the 10-year yield, is that the, and it is somewhat related, of course, but the fact that the Fed expectations are really ratcheting and aggressively so. You're starting to see banks pull up the four rate hike scenarios for this year, and even more. Others even pulling out multiple rate hikes in a single meeting. But you see that the terminal rate is starting to slip above 2%. If you look pretty far out the curve there, I've put up the December 2024 short-term interest rate future, the Eurodollar future, which is three-month rates at various times out in the future. And you can see that one slipped it slipped above 2% after sort of, pretty consistently stopping around that level before. I'll say you've got some interesting perspective here on yields, of course, as always. And we have some key auctions coming up. I guess a good test as we're getting into the more liquid part of the trading year for Treasury demand here.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I think that from today until the end of the week, there are some economic events that can be both bearish and bullish for U.S. Treasuries. On the bearish side, well, today we have a Powell speech. We have Esther George speak, which is a hawkish voting members of the Federal Reserve. Tomorrow we have the CPI readings. And on Friday, the Michigan Consumer Index at the end of the week. But what can be bullish, John, at this point, can be the Treasury auctions that are planned for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today, the U.S. Treasuries is starting with selling 3-year notes. And as you can see on slide five, if yields remains in check around 1.20% for 3 years, then they would price to the highest yield since the beginning of 2020. So that's very compelling for demand to come back and be strong in these auctions. But particularly bullish are instead we expect the demand for tomorrow 10 years auction and Thursday 30 year auctions. And I'm going to take you to slide seven. If we look at the Eurohedged US Treasuries, 10 years. Right now, they're offering the highest yield in 5 years. Today, it's a little bit lower at 0.96%, which is at the level that we've seen at the beginning of the year. But yesterday, we reached 0.99, which is the highest level we have seen since 2016. And also, if tomorrow, 10 years US Treasury auction prices above 1.75%, that would be the highest yield that we have seen in a 10 years auction since the beginning of 2020.
Yeah, and I love that perspective there on the euro hedged. We have to remember that as such a liquid instrument as the U.S. Treasury, as a U.S. Treasury note, if you can hedge back in your currency and receive 100 basis points premium, for example, plus to what you're getting from bund yields. And you've got a bund yield chart on slide six where we have directional sympathy with U.S. yields. We're waiting for for it to tick above zero. We are seeing the ECB marked a little bit higher out in 2023 for where their rates will go, getting back towards zero, supposedly, in that year. I suspect we've been writing our outlooks. I suspect the ECB is forced into a capitulation at some point in 2022. But what's your perspective here on the safe haven sovereigns in the EU here?
Well, the thing is that there is no other direction for 10 years bond yields to go other than above zero at this point in time. Tomorrow we have a 30-year bond auction, and we have seen last year a lot of long-term bond auctions that were closed as a technical failure. And we could see the same tomorrow for the 30-year auction. But really, John, what is more important for bonds is where U.S. Treasury yields go, because the correlation between the two is really, really tight. It's really close to one. So if we see U.S. Treasuries yields rising, then we can expect bond yields to follow suit and to break that level fairly soon.
All right. And then the FX market, it's been interesting to see the shifting sands for Japanese yen traders. It has been the most dynamic currency into the end of last year and the beginning of this year, to be sure. We've seen quite a comeback. You can see the FX trend readings on slide eight, where you see that real momentum shift back to the positive side for the Japanese yen. You can see it also on the chart, and it's coming at a very technically interesting point there after we in the first days of the year burst above the 115.50 prior high that came at just prior to that Omicron variant news. We've sort of broken back below that level slightly, but I would argue you need to get a significant fall through below fit 115, and you're starting to look at a bearish reversal, as well as yen strength, sort of confirming some of the slightly more bearish structural setups on other charts. But the key thing being that we've seen rising U.S. long yields, typically something that's very yen negative, and the yen has managed to rally through this. And then as well with yesterday's big sentiment shift, nothing really happened to that yen strength. So I think it's very interesting to see if the yen is going to follow through stronger here. And then ironically, in times past, two currencies that have proved very positively correlated, the yen and the Swiss franc, not at all so. So we're seeing the Swiss franc really turning negative here in terms of momentum and in direction. We've seen Euro Swiss with considerable pop. We saw a big rise in the weekly sight deposits from the Swiss National Bank, suggesting that they are out intervening. It's hit a key level here around 105, that Euro Swiss level. So watching that, I think it's a very interesting mean reversion play. It's one I wrote about actually at the very end of last year, whether Swiss versus the yen was something that was getting to ridiculous levels and could mean revert this year. So far that after stretching even more to the upside has come screaming back down to the downside here, especially after yesterday. So that's where I'm focusing. And until the dollar shows signs of life beyond simply being going up and down on risk sentiment. We do have some, as Althea pointed out, some really key U.S. data risk and central banker risk this week. I'll cover that a bit more. But Peter, we need to get back to you because as earnings season is heating up, there's lots to focus on in terms of individual stock names. Take us through your list here on for today.
Yeah, I will steal the show in in a couple of weeks' time. If we start with stocks to watch today, I think that's a little bit more important than the earnings releases. So we have Delivery Hero, which is the biggest food delivery business here in Europe, that is coming out with a statement that they're going to break even on their business in Q4. I say it's most likely on an adjusted EBITDA basis. A lot of these companies, they're putting out, and I'm very harsh here, but they're putting out all these shenanigan numbers like adjusted here, that and that, which is not really relevant because you need to strip out the relevant things. And I would say it really underscores my point from the last couple of months I've been talking about on this podcast, that you know, companies in this, you know, fast growing companies, speculative parts of the market, they need to deliver on operating margins, because when interest rates are on the rise, it puts up the discount rate, and that's a hit to the valuation. So the only way the companies can, you know, offset that hit to valuations, and keep in mind, a lot of these companies, they have run a lot of share based compensation to key employees. So when you have a share price like Delivery Hero, as you can see here, closed at 82 euros yesterday, down from 140 recently. You know, it takes a toll on your key employees, because it's all their compensation is not worth a lot. So they need to get the share price up, and you can do that by either raising the revenue growth rate or operating margins. And they're opting for the latter, but I'm not so sure they will succeed with that. ARK Innovation, of course, key focus point here today because of the rebound. Back to the cybersecurity, as I mentioned, Darktrace, which was a recent IPO on the London Stock Exchange. It's an industry that is dominated by US players. So it's so nice to see Darktrace, you know, European play on cybersecurity. They're lifting their EBITDA and revenue growth forecast for the fiscal year. And it just really shows you the underlying demand. I think this company is looking at almost 45% revenue growth. So an impressive industry. And then Pandora, one of the big jewelry companies in the world, together with Tiffany's, is reporting preliminary Q4 revenue figures, the best ever in the company's history. And the CEO is very confident, and he says that the growth is looking very encouraging across all their markets and segments. So I suggest a pretty big boost. And then I'm out here with a lesson in corporate BS, because Nokia, Nokia is out saying, oh, we're raising our operating margin to 12.4 to 12.6% from previous 10 to 12%. And when I read the headlines, that's a very impressive increase in operating margins. And surely that's a very positive thing. But then the Bloomberg headlines were very thin. I couldn't see why they were raising it so much. And then I went to their investor relationship page. And by the way, if you're serious about equities, you have to go sometimes to the primary source here. And then you look up in their comments, and I've highlighted in, you know, so they said, however, other operating income was higher than expected, including further benefits from venture fund investments, leading to a stronger comparable operating margin exceeding the 2021 guidance. Just for everyone out there listening to our podcast, I want to learn anything about it. It's terrible. First of all, other operating income, it's not operating income. That's just not anything to do with the operations. And then venture fund investments, they are predominantly the not, you know, wholly owned subsidiaries or controlling subsidiaries. It's just investments in certain things. It has nothing to do with the underlying operations of their networking business. So I think this is really a key lesson in not always believing what the companies are saying. They sometimes play games with us investors. Okay, sorry, I've talked a lot. Let's go quick.
But first of all, I have to nominate Dark Trace. I have to nominate them for the coolest name of any company out there. They need to do a sci-fi series or a fantasy sci-fi series or something. That's a cool name. Anyway, two cents on that. Go
ahead. It is actually a very, very cool name. Before we talk about the earnings, I just quickly, because there were two news items that came across the wire just as you and Altea began talking on the podcast, and that is that China have released their passenger vehicle sales for December, and they are up 4.5% from December last year. So we're beginning to see some positive momentum in the Chinese car market. And even more importantly, the electric vehicle sales is up 170%, with Tesla delivering 71,000 cars in December alone. And you had a funny perspective on that, John. I don't know whether you care to share that.
I'm just shaking my head a bit. I think Ola was telling me, I don't want to misquote him, I'll ask him on tomorrow's podcast, but something that global consumption of coal had risen, I think it was 9%, to an all-time high. And then the idea of buying a Tesla and running it, which, and China does have a strong coal mix in their power source. So running a Tesla on coal, we're just, the whole EV narrative around climate is a bit, let's call it challenged. And I just wanted to put that little note of cynicism in there. I don't want to sound too defeatist, but anyway, go ahead.
No, but I think it's an interesting call actually to mix in there. Okay, so that was on slide 9, by the way. If you're following the slide deck, all the different stocks to watch today. Slide 10, of course, today's earnings. We have Yaskawa Electric. I think I mistakenly mentioned that they reported yesterday, but they reported today, and it doesn't look very well. They are really pressured on rising input costs, so they are really slipping versus estimates on operating income, and also their revenue is not that strong. They try to talk it up. It's very unusual Japanese style in terms of corporate communication, but they're actually trying to talk things up, saying demand is very strong. I suspect it probably is, but they are really pressured on those rising input costs. And they not specifically mentioned China, but we know China is a very big part of their business. So to me, it's just an environment where they're not able to raise prices against the Chinese industrials, but they are facing the full brunt of rising input costs. So that's not a very healthy thing for them. And then the other key one to watch today is Acciona Energías, which is one of the largest renewable owners of assets and developing, different wind turbines, hydro electric power stations, solar farms on a utility scale, etc. And it's mostly, I think it's 70% onshore wind turbines, because I've added them to my quarterly outlook when we discuss the overall energy landscape. So watch out for that one when it comes out later today.
All right. And I wanted to point out earlier when we were talking around the whole interest or yield rises and so on, that gold has done very, very well during this episode. So I think it's a heads up on gold. Watch it for this local rally through the local pivot highs. We'll talk about it, follow up more with Ola tomorrow. I just think it's an interesting thing to highlight. Okay. And we had the testimony that Powell will read up in his nomination or renomination hearing today. Pretty plain stuff from Fed Chair Powell, saying he wants to do the max to support the economy while addressing inflation and preventing it from becoming entrenched. That's going to be a very tall challenge this year. And we are essentially already at full employment. So the only way you can address inflationary risk is by actually potentially putting the kibosh on the recovery to slow things down. So, but interesting to see what the questioning will be like today. And then, as I mentioned, Brainard, it could be a bit more of a contentious hearing on Thursday. The latest is on the Russia-US talks yesterday. They were all day, both sides saying they were solid talks and they're going to continue. So at least there was no storming out of the negotiations there. step one is looking positive. It did support the ruble, but there's a lot more to come on that front. And as Althea mentioned, we have George out with that testimony or a speech today on the economy and the policy outlook. And as well, Mester, she is also a hawkish member. She'll be speaking in a Bloomberg TV interview. So watch out for little tidbits that are dropped from them. We have the global inflation benchmark in the form of the Chinese PPI out tonight. Those are expected to pull back after the record highs the prior month, et cetera. And you can see all these items on slide 11 in today's slide deck. You can find the link in the podcast description. We've run on a little bit long today. I think we'll just call it a day. See if this bounce back in sentiment holds, and we'll see where things stand tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.